U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
All right, Marcus, hour number two. Here we go.
Lemonade and Red Bull.
Breakfast of champions.
Let's do this.
Boom! Three more hairs just sprouted on my chest. First sip of Red Bull. Marcus, hit me.
Thank you, Russell.
You're welcome.
At number one, Tennessee softball. We'll start off here relatively soon. I'm going to check the TV for it. As the Lady Vol softball team will take on the Texas Longhorns. Lady Longhorns?
Come get you some, Texas.
The Lady Horns.
So if they're, they'd be the cows, right?
Cattle. Beef.
That sounds a bit misogynistic.
Not really.
What's worse, being the Lady Horns or the Lady Hogs?
I wouldn't want to be called a Lady
Hog. Sow.
Or a cow. I feel like that would be very.
A lady Hog? The Lady Hogs?
That's what they call Arkansas, right? They're the Lady Hogs.
Are they one of the teams that still use lady in their title?
Oh, that's a good question. Probably not. I don't know what the woke position is. It's like some people say it's insulting to women to have ladies.
It'd be insane to throw away a brand that's worth millions and millions and millions of dollars. In the case of like,
I just think it's respectful. It's
yeah,
ladies.
It's the Lady Vols.
A lady is classy. A lady is to be admired and placed upon a pedestal. And
so, what do we
respected.
Think?
Respected.
Are gals gonna get it done? We're going all the way to, is it Oklahoma City, Tucker? OKC?
Sure, why not?
I want a piece of Oklahoma.
The Lady Sooners.
At number two, the Arizona Cardinals have released wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins after three seasons. The Cardinals released wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins today. Hopkins' future with the Cardinals had been in question since the end of the 22 season because of his team-high $30.75 million cap hit, which ranked tops among the wide receivers in the NFL, seventh highest overall. By releasing Hopkins now, the Cardinals will save $8.15 million in cap space in 2023, but are set to take a dead cap hit of $22.6 million. His contract
really needed that $8
million. He was under contract for the 2024 season. Hopkins said on a podcast recently that the Bills, Ravens, Patriots, he also mentioned the Eagles and the Chargers, quarterbacks in particular, that he would be willing to take passes from. Apparently, he also mentioned what he's looking for specifically in organization, saying things like, a organization that is well-run because he's been through too many GMs and a quarterback that can get the troops together.
Wonder what his relationship is like with Vrabel and Tim Kelly from their time together at Houston.
Ooh. It's hard to say. I mean,
it's a good point.
I think he was pretty much over the organization as a whole, especially after what McNair had said. But
wasn't Tim Kelly the OC when he had pretty big years?
He had good
He always had good numbers.
He had good numbers, but the issue was that season was a bust. I mean, they didn't play well at all to win games, but they put good numbers up. But
it was also a completely toxic franchise. That was why he left, wasn't it?
I don't know how much.
Bill O'Brien ran him out the door.
Yeah, that didn't help. It's going to be hard to say on. Tim Kelly would probably be an easier guess on how they felt about each other, but with him being a defense coordinator, how often are you really talking to the wide receivers? Who knows? I mean, it obviously doesn't hurt to look into it. At number three, Cade Renfro, a backup quarterback for the Arkansas Razorbacks, is no longer on the football roster. Arkansas dismissed the backup quarterback Cade Renfro from the football team following accusations of sexual assault and harassment posted to social media. I know you don't like it when I editorialize, but I'm going to do it slightly here. I feel like sexual assault and harassment is an understatement to what has been talked about.
Yeah, well, there's some really disturbing social media posts going around, and it was allegations. These guys entitled to a defense and everything. But, I mean, if half of what we saw on social media yesterday is true, then being kicked off the football team should be the least of the things, punishments headed his way.
Yeah, but what if it ends up like that, the kicker and A.J. Johnson, I can't remember the punter, basically, he wasn't even there.
Areza.
He wasn't even at the place where
I said we haven't heard his side of the story. He's entitled to a robust defense.
I have no idea. I do know I did see they've put out a little bit, like somebody from his camp put out basically that it was an anonymous Instagram account, and they're basically saying it was just purely attack, an untrue attack on him, and it disappeared. People have screenshots of it, but the account, like, nobody knows who this account was that made all the accusations.
Well, here's my thing, man. The Arkansas statement said, as soon as we were made aware of the allegations, we forwarded them to the university's Title IX office, and apparently the Title IX office has been investigating. This is what blows me away about what's going on in college campuses, and people want to talk about rape culture and drinking and all the things that can go bad specifically for young women on these college campuses. I find it outrageous that this falls under the Title IX office's jurisdiction. If there's a sexual assault alleged to have occurred, it needs to be investigated by police departments, detectives. Needs to be adjudicated in a court of law. Diversity, equity, inclusion specialists do not need to be going around conducting investigations.
No.
That's so messed up. And that happens here in Knoxville. It happens all over the place. I mean, you want to talk about something that needs to be reformed. Start there.
Yeah. I understand that you obviously have to wait to hear everything that comes out about it all, but like you said, if half of that stuff is true, that is
very disturbing allegations, for sure.
Very much. And finally, at number four, NBA will be tomorrow. It's a big game. Won't be here tomorrow to talk about it, but the Celtics and the Heat will be facing off Saturday at 8:30 p.m. in Miami.
How about that?
Having an opportunity to force a Game 7. Can the Celtics pull it off, or will the Heat move on to face the Nuggets in the finals?
I don't know. I mean, it's Miami's really as hot as they came out. Their backs are against the wall. If there ain't no way if they lose tomorrow night that they're going to TD Gardens on Monday and winning up there.
ESPN matchup predictor gives Boston a 70.8% chance to win Game 6. How about that? You like those odds, Marcus?
Something clicked with these guys.
Think
after
we hear
game
from
three.
Jamie today? Jamie Utah?
Who knows?
Boy, that's going to be.
Call in, you coward.
That's gonna
I
be
know
so
you're listening.
Fun. That's going to be so fun, man, when Boston comes back and raises another banner to play those calls back. Fire the coach! Missoula doesn't know what he's doing.
You know, we joke about how we always say, I'm going to go check the tapes.
Oh, no. It's already been it's noted in the archives.
Has it been Derek Dooley noted?
Yeah. Before I leave this weekend, I'm going to.
If we do raise Banner 18, I will put together a compilation of all of the things he said. I will work very hard on that.
As opposed to the rest of your output here, which is more or less half-assed.
Yeah, something
cool.
Like that, yeah.
Right. Looking forward to that. Thank you, Marcus. Top four at four complete this afternoon. According to David on Twitter, Texas is not the Lady Longhorns. Tennessee is the only Power Five school still using Lady in front of the nickname.
Oh, hold on. Oh, I'm got a communique from Jamie. He's laughing his rear end off. Call in, Jamie. Face the music, buddy. Your team's getting ready to make history. Down 3-0. 4 straight going to the finals.
Or you could just text Bear and he'll read your texts live on the air. Mike says Lady Cox has to be the worst.
Oh, my God.
They were never called that, were they?
Cox is just a nickname the way Vols is. It's the Volunteers and the Gamecocks is the full. By the way,
I can't ever remember calling the Lady Vols, ever referring to them as the Lady Volunteers. That just sounds odd.
Going back to our cockfighting discussion from earlier in the week, you would talk about politically correct and cancellations and having to change a nickname. Why does South Carolina get to be nicknamed something that centers around an activity that is now illegal in all 50 states?
It's barbaric.
Why is PETA out there protesting?
I'm sure they're on their radar. They've got to be. I still think they should have renamed that thing Commander Cock. Was that last summer?
Yeah, that was good.
We had so much fun with that.
Commander Cock. It was it's a pretty cool nickname, actually, man. Gamecocks. Is that Gamecocks and Volunteers have to be, I mean, for all the Tigers and Bulldogs unique. And Gamecocks and Volunteers are maybe
they're
the
unique.
Coolest nicknames in all of sports. And college sports has the – you don't have cool nicknames like that in the pros, do you? Not in the NFL anyway. Panthers. Commanders is Cowboys.
Bears.
Yeah,
Lions.
Very generic.
Giants. Titans.
Packers is pretty cool.
49ers.
Eh.
Got the Rams. Who else? Chargers. I mean, pretty much they're very genetic. The Steelers is a good one.
I miss the Orange Men. Syracuse Orange just – and I think it's no coincidence, by the way, that the quality of their football and all their athletics have gone down since they stopped being the Orange Men.
You ever gone back and watch that 98 game with them and realize how close we came to that season not happening just right off
the – Yeah, I've seen it.
Donovan McNabb's good.
I remember.
He was good, wasn't he?
I remember. But you know what? So was Jamal Lewis.
Yeah, he was.
Before he tore that knee up. It was just cut from a different cloth. Talk about a freak show. Jamal Lewis. I mean, if Jamal hadn't blown out the knee that year, first of all, there's just so many counterintuitive things. Like, I don't know if we win a national title if Jamal doesn't blow out the knee. And I know that sounds stupid, but it's stupid to think that Tennessee got better when Peyton Manning left. But we kind of did, in a way.
Everybody, a lot more guys had to step up.
Yeah. And I think Jamal's injury contributed that as well. But can you imagine if we had three full seasons? Because we only got really one season of Jamal because he didn't start until halfway through his freshman year. And he was only there for the first four games of 98. And when he came back in 99, he wasn't the same guy.
No, and what's wild about it is it's not that, like, he was different before the knee injury. Like, he was, like, otherworldly. After the knee injury, he still went on to have a really long – I mean, he's a member of the second in single season, isn't he?
Is it hyperbole to suggest that if Jamal Lewis hadn't blown out his knee, regardless of whether Tennessee wins a national championship in 98 or not, is it hyperbole to suggest that if he had been healthy for all three seasons, 97, 98, 99, that he would be talked about in the same breath as Herschel Walker and Bo Jackson?
Yes. And I think
you think it is hyperbole?
No. I think he absolutely would be. I put him there anyhow because I think that's how good he was.
He had a better pro career than either of them, didn't he? I mean, Herschel was pretty prolific.
I mean, Bo Jackson, until he had that freak injury – and he was getting ready to, you know, the sad part is, I can't remember if it's in that 30 for 30 or if it's a long-form interview with him that I read, but he was getting ready to just do baseball full-time when the injury happened. I think that was going to be his last season playing football. He just wanted to be a baseball player.
It's so strange to think about what ifs, because every school has these conversations.
Yeah.
We talk about what if Tony Robinson, what if Chuck Webb. And, you know, Jamal Lewis still had a borderline Hall of Fame career, even overcoming a catastrophic knee injury when those things were not the easiest things to heal in the world back in the late 90s. Because, I mean, how many of those stories are out there of guys that would have been
all-time
greats.
Chuck Webb.
And well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That is, every school has that. Tennessee is not unique, right? Every school has dudes who, like, were great players who kind of got sidetracked a little bit through injuries and then just couldn't get it going. And maybe they did have good pro careers, but could have had all-time Hall of Fame careers if not for just
Nick Chubb.
Wrong step somewhere.
That's who I also put in that league. Like you said, he's having a fine pro career. He was otherworldly before he blew his knee out.
The guy I remember from them is Robert Edwards. I mean, you want to see an all-time performance? Go back and watch Robert Edwards for the first quarter of the 1995 Georgia game in Neyland Stadium. I think he ran for like 100 yards in the first quarter. We could not tackle him.
We put him out of the game.
Could not. Well, he broke his foot. And yeah. I think he played through it, but was, you know, he had that obviously ruined his seat. And then wasn't he the guy who blew out a knee playing beach volleyball at the Pro Bowl one year?
Maybe. He had bad luck.
I don't know if he was going to be in this conversation, but I just remember that performance as far as, like, people talk about Rocket Ishmael in Neyland Stadium and Tebow and Bryce Young this past year as far as great performances by opposing players. I mean, Robert Edwards in 95, that was – we don't win that game if you don't get hurt. Because we won it on a last-second Jeff Hall field goal, just like the 98 Syracuse game. And I don't think it would have come down to that if Robert Edwards were, I mean, he might have ran for 300 yards that day.
Wouldn't go that far.
I know you wouldn't, but no. Most people would. 865-546-8200, your number to get on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. 546-8200 if you want to chime in this afternoon. All right, Bear has shamed him into calling in and talking Celtics basketball. I know the vast majority of our audience that loves talking about the NBA, loves our pro basketball talk here, is really grateful for Bear for doing this. But Jamie's
I'll have
on
you know, the NBA ratings are through the roof right now. For them.
I'm
are
sure
they not?
Well, they were when the Warriors and the Lakers played, but we'll see what happens when Denver takes the court in the NBA Finals. I'm guessing that's – particularly if they're playing Miami, I don't think that's going to be a –
all
ratings
right.
Bonanza. Let's get Jamie in here on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. What's up, Jamie?
What's up? I'd say these next – if Boston pushes it to Game 7, that might be the most watched playoff game in the history of the NBA right there.
In the history of the NBA?
I mean, you the ratings are up already. You know, it's – you know, it's
– the playoffs have been pretty enjoyable. I was thinking about that driving in today. Like, it's – my NBA watching habits are really strange. They've been, you know, since the last – I had stopped watching in the post-Jordan years for the longest time, and the first season I remember coming back and really getting into it was the year Dirk and the Mavs won against the Heat, LeBron and those guys. And yeah. Since then, like, I had this weird thing where I don't watch NBA in the regular season at all.
Nobody does.
I watch when the playoffs start. I generally don't watch the first round unless there's some intriguing storyline or I'm bored or whatever. And it, like at some point, I just slowly get into it. Usually the second round, and then by the conference finals, I'm really into it. And I love watching the NBA finals. And that's kind of where I'm at right now, where I'm really enjoying this series. It's the only one going on, obviously. What do you think, Jamie? You guys going to pull it off? They're going to pull off the comeback?
Oh, I don't know. But you're right, Russ. It does have the kind of build-up to it that I think college football does really well, warming you up with the San Diego State Credit Union Bowl. All the, you know, and
yeah.
The closer you get to New Year's, the better the games.
Well, the Lakers the Lakers storyline was good because a lot of people didn't expect them to even make the playoffs, and then for them to take down the Warriors, and I'm sure that was a ratings bonanza with so many stars on the floor, and,
mm-hmm.
and to see them, you know, be, you know, somewhat competitive with the Nuggets, that's a good story. They're a fun team to watch if you're a basketball purist. Watching Denver is a lot of fun. So, and then you got the Celtics, who are obviously a big brand in and of themselves, and.
Mm-hmm.
People are, I'm sure, watching that series.
You know, Marcus, I hope that when we hang, if and when we do hang Banner 18, you'll take a little time to enjoy it before you worry about going back and finding out what I've said. But I'll tell you right now, it'd be a waste of time because I've not said anything that's not true. It's kind of like, it's, you know, he stunk it up to go 0-3 when you had two games at home and then to get blown out by 28 on the road. That's, no matter if we blow out Miami the next two games and win it all, he still sucked.
I want you
in
to
this
know,
series in the first three games.
If he raises the banner, I will point out to you that you wanted him, A, fired, and I'll also point out that, B, it doesn't matter at that point. He could have gone down 3-0 in every single series, but if he wins the banner and hangs it up there, it doesn't matter. You won it all. It doesn't matter how you got there. I don't care if it took triple overtime. Like, you won the championship. So that's my argument. I'm sticking to it.
I guess, you know, at the end of the day, we're both wanting the same thing, but I don't think that regardless of what happens from today on, he stunk it up the first three games. That's all I've been saying. And you know what? I'll say this. If we do win the title, that still doesn't mean Mizzou is a good coach, does it? I mean, look at Greg Popovich. He was a great coach until he lost all the talent.
Emmy didn't win it. Doc Rivers only won one, and he had the big three for multiple seasons. So, I mean, he'd be a better coach than our coach last year who didn't win it.
Oh, I'll give you that. Yeah, because titles mean everything. That's why Robert Horry is the greatest of all times, and Charles Barkley's not. Right? Because it's titles.
I mean, anyway, you could look at who else didn't. Steve Nash didn't win one, right?
Like, no.
That,
no, he did. He won with Phoenix, didn't he? With Shaq?
I don't think Phoenix hasn't won
it with Shaq.
I don't think the Phoenix Suns have ever won a championship.
Oh, Shaq won it with Miami. Yeah, Shaq won it with Miami. Yeah.
No, they've never won a championship. That's the thing. Like, you can be a really great player, but the unfortunate fact is if you don't win a championship, it is a slight blemish. They're like, yeah, he was great at what he did, but he just could never get it done. Like, that, as much as that's frustrating, if Peyton Manning never won a championship, they'd still say he was a great quarterback in the NFL, but they'd say he could never get it done. Dan Marino never got it done.
Charles Barkley's still not living that down, and he's one of the greatest. But, guys, I appreciate y'all letting me have some Celtics talk in here. I know this is not the, you know, but it's what's dominating the storyline outside of here. And I'm interested in something. So, but on the way out, Russ, you brought up something right before you came to me, and it made me think, what about that running back from South Carolina that was a Lattimore that we hurt?
Yeah.
Lattimore is going to be a first rounder. That's a good, hey Russ. That's a good July, you know, topic right there. Or something, man. For the day is if you want to
program
it out
for Jamie in today. That would be though. You know
what?
You know the thing about Lattimore, and it's the reason that is crazy and is wacky, and he is wacky as Jim Harbaugh is. That they Harbaugh and they drafted him. And got him an NFL contract.
Did they at San Francisco?
Yeah.
I
mean, he was never able
Harbaugh,
to play,
man.
But it was pretty cool.
Something about that guy. He's old school from his Walmart pants to giving a kid that, you know, that they can't play for you a contract. I love that guy. I've always admired him. I remember when him and him and the Colts came up here to Three Rivers, or is it Riverfront? Man, y'all got me questioning myself after yesterday's Tommy Boy reference. But when
that always confused me too. Riverfront was Cincinnati. Pittsburgh was Three Rivers.
Three Rivers. All right. You know what's worse though, Russ? I'm a fan of both, so I can't keep them separated. But yeah, he about willed the Colts to win in the AFC Championship game back in the day. I think it was '95. But got a lot of respect for that guy. On the way out, guys, be careful. It's going to rain something fierce because I've done went and washed the car, and that will trigger it. Y'all hang in there.
I washed mine on Monday. It was a great week. Just walking, you admire that car. Oh, yeah, your handiwork, a little elbow grease on that.
Did you do it yourself in the driveway?
Yeah. What do you take me for? One of these guys who takes his car through a car wash?
Yeah, because we've talked about it before off the air.
A touch-free car wash. I'm very particular about it. Unless one of these big car washes wants to cut the check, because I'll be all about it.
I've read that like dish detergent ruins your paint. Like if you just get like Dawn liquid.
Well, yeah.
Like what do you use?
Car wash soap.
You go like AutoZone and buy it?
Yeah. You're washing your car in your driveway with dish soap? People do that?
Apparently people do. I don't. I go to a car wash.
I like wash my car, man. Microfiber. I got the like the glove thing with all the microfiber stuff on it and get a good.
Yeah, my problem is my driveway slips down towards the garage.
Ooh, yeah.
It just kind of makes a mess. That's the biggest reason I don't. I used to do it all the time. No, I never did, but like they have to tell people not to do that. They'll just eat your paint.
Yeah, that's dumb. The guys at G&J would never. 865-546-8200. Logan's going to call in from down in Hoover. He's at the SEC tournament. Logan loves his baseball, man. The baseball's one and done. Logan is still headed to Hoover.
Our boy Shump, he got out of town. He went home. Logan's still down there.
Yeah, we'll talk to LQ. TJ's going to jump in here. A lot to get to. Stay with us. The Drive continues on Fan Run Radio. Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM, streaming online at fanrunradio.com and your free Fan Run app. A variety of ways for you to experience the program this afternoon. Let's get Logan Quinton from the 920 podcast in here.
Let's do it.
Live from Hoover. LQ, what's up, man?
What is going on, fellas? I am dodging some bammers in Birmingham right now. The traffic has been horrid.
Really? A lot of traffic down there, huh?
Roll down tide.
Well, I'm a little bit so what I did, I was a little late to game planning this thing. Also a little late getting here this week. Got here today, and I'm actually staying up a little closer to Birmingham than in Hoover. I'm not down there on that parkway or boulevard, whatever, near the stadium.
Okay.
So it's a little bit cheaper. But yeah, we just got down here. I am going to head towards the stadium here in a little bit, the Hoover Met, and I'll be catching Bama at Vandy tonight. And then we've got Arkansas and Florida kicking things off tomorrow. And then whoever we find out the next opponent, the Saturday afternoon game tonight.
Logan, you love this event. You went down there, obviously, even with Tennessee not being in there, you just love the baseball event. What is your take on the conversation that sprung up this week for the second year in a row that maybe the SEC should look at playing in a different venue, the SEC tournament? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'm not hard-pressed to try to move the thing. I kind of like it. It is frustrating that the weather comes into play just about every year. But this year, I mean, outside of, ironically, the Tennessee game and, you know, that first day, weather's been beautiful all week, and it's going to continue to be beautiful all weekend. The thing is, I'm not for moving it to an MLB park. I do not want, in terms of aesthetics and everything, I mean, I think that will take away from some of the pageantry because you're talking about, you know, 10,000-12,000 people in an MLB stadium that, you know, could probably hold 40,000 or so. I would rather have it at a minor league ballpark, and the names that were mentioned to me, Memphis, Nashville, Birmingham, I'm assuming those are the MILB ballparks that can hold the most, because you know, looking around at it, I mean, there's plenty of those parks in the South, but I think the problem is the capacity, and Hoover's capacity tends to be a little bit more on average than even the maximum capacity for your average MILB ballpark.
Yeah, the ACC, their tournament looks beautiful on TV. They had it in Charlotte, I believe, last year. And they've got a beautiful minor league park there where
the Charlotte Knights Park.
Yeah, where you can see the skyscrapers through the outfield. Really cool. They're doing it at Durham this year, which is one of the ballparks that the new that Randy Boyd's group is using as a inspiration. It's not a direct copy, but that's one of the ballparks that they're kind of going for with the vibe for the new downtown ballpark here in Knoxville. I would wonder if that would be an option. I've heard that's supposed to be 7,000 seats. It feels, Logan, like the you really need. And here's the thing: you don't want it to be too small, obviously, but you also don't want it to be too big. To me, that would be the big drawback of taking it to Minute Maid Park in Houston or Globe Life Field in Dallas. Is like those are 40,000 seat parks. You're not going to have 40,000 people at any of those games, and it feels like that would hurt the atmosphere. I feel like 10,000 or so is kind of the sweet spot for this event.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that's why some of the names that I've heard, Nashville, Memphis, and Birmingham, I think that's where they kind of fit that mold and fit that line. But there's plenty of options in the South. Like you mentioned, the new stadium in Knoxville coming soon in upcoming years, that would definitely – you better believe that – you know, the powers that be will be submitting things to try to get that in the works way down the road. I would imagine that would be a nice venue. But yeah, I'm not hard-pressed to move this thing. I will say, though, that I'm a little on board with changing the format. I think you should cut the teams down probably to 10. And there's all kinds of different ways you can do that and make it work and still have double elimination if you want. I will say, though, 12 out of the 14 teams and leaving two out, you know, generally I don't like that, but it's just quirky enough to be the SEC and to be quirky enough for Hoover, right? So it kind of fits in a way because, look, I said before the tournament kicked off on the latest podcast, my prediction was the winner of that 8-9 seed game, Alabama and Kentucky, would be playing on Sunday. Alabama will be one step closer tonight if they beat the Commodores. We saw what Kentucky did last year. They almost spooled the whole thing in Hoover. They were on quite a run. So, you know, you definitely want to get at least 10 teams in the thing. But I would be on board cutting it down from like 12 to 10.
Logan Quinton, check out the 920 podcast on our Fan Run podcast feed, wherever you listen to podcasts. Logan, before we let you run and get back to the ball games tonight, just your thoughts on Tennessee. Obviously, a very flaccid showing Tuesday in Hoover by the Volunteers. What do you think, man? Do we stick a fork in these guys? Do we still think they have the potential to make a run? Where are you at?
Look, I've said it all year. I mean, talent-wise, this team absolutely has what it takes to make it to Omaha and to even win the whole thing. And they have the pitching group on that side of the deal. I mean, the best in the country. It's the deepest and the best pitching staff in the country. So that's like item number one that you need. But also, my question to them is, who are going to be your unsung heroes? Who's going to, you know, play hard-nosed ball and be willing to do whatever it takes to put one through the gap, get on base, you know, just make a play? Because, you know, what we typically see in Hoover, what we've seen this week and in all these tournaments this time of year, you know, a lot of times you're Jackie Cags and players like that shine through, right? And everybody knows about those names. But more times than not, it's your BT Ryapills, your Tommy Seidels that end up winning games for you and making a difference this time of year. And so every team's got their sluggers in the SEC. They just got dudes. It's the way the SEC is. But you're going to have – your lineup top to bottom is going to have to be in for a fight. And we saw that in the A&M game this week. A&M definitely had a game plan that not only worked for Tennessee, but worked going forward after that game. They one hit again in Hoover. It was, you know, Tennessee wasn't the only team they won hit. So, you know, I think these guys can regroup. They've got the talent to do it. It's going to be interesting to see what region they get put in. I think that's, I feel good about the region chances getting out of a region, even if it, you know, being that it will be on the road. A lot of people want to shoot it down because of their road record, but I like their chances on the road at a regional. The real test, I think, is going to be in Supers.
All right, good stuff, LQ. The 920 podcast available wherever you listen to podcasts. Logan, good stuff, my man. Thanks for the live report from Hoover. Anything else you care to add on your way out the door today?
Hey, as bad as traffic was, I'm looking on the bright side because you know what I got in my passenger seat?
I hope it's not one of those sex dolls to avoid the HOV lane.
Oh, there's plenty of weird, kinky stuff you can get down here in Alabama. But
roll down tide.
I've got a box of crumble cookies. I went by the Stadia Hills location.
Okay.
Shout out to Jason and Rebecca Dickey. They run that store there. Went by, picked some up, wanted to check it out. And it was fantastic. As expected, the service was great. That region, that area of the neighborhood was really busy. I was in and out, and I'm about to get on some of these cookies and then head over to the Hoover Met and enjoy some baseball.
Very nice. Check out Crumble Cookies here in Knoxville, Clinton Highway, and in Turkey Creek. Logan, enjoy the weekend down there, man. Have a lot of fun, and I'm sure we'll talk to you next week.
Y'all be safe.
Logan Quinton at LQ Sports on the Twitter machine.
You know, I hear tell that if Tennessee goes to Terre Haute, which is where they're slated to right now.
Say that again, please.
Terre Haute? Is it Terre Haute?
I think you got it right. It's just the southern twist you put up. Terre Haute. Tennessee goes to Terre Haute. That'd be a lot of fun. Go up there to Terre Haute. Go on.
You're a jackass.
No, you really are.
You really
it's
are.
It's funny. The
you
way
really
you said
are.
It, it's funny.
You
Come
really
on.
Are.
We all have.
Anyhow, Logan and, I mean, you know, you accuse me. I'm trying to help the boys out. Collier and Logan are going all the way to Indiana State.
They're going up to Terre Haute?
Yes, they're going to Terre Haute.
Terre Haute?
I don't think
hey,
I said it
hey,
like
Marcus,
that.
You want to go up to Terre Haute? Up there in Indiana, up there at Terre Haute.
I didn't even know.
You think
it was
they
in
got
Indiana.
A crumble cookies up in Terre Haute?
They got them all over the place. Do you check the lineup on Sunday to see what's coming up for the weekend down there at Crumble?
Yes.
I do.
Anything good?
I'm just always on lookout for either the banana bread one or the banana cookie one or the oatmeal chocolate chip.
Fantastic.
Great.
TJ, the Kentucky fan, is next. What's up, TJ?
Hey, what's up, buddy? How you doing, man?
Doing well, thank you.
Hey, you know, I don't think it matters if we go to an 8-game schedule, 9-game schedule, 10-game schedule. I honestly, if these guys can do it, they're NFL first rounders, most of them. I don't care if they go to a 12-game SEC schedule. I really don't. I think the biggest thing with me is, and you may disagree, but these kids are getting played now. They're 18 years old. We say that they're kids. Is it wrong now to consider them amateur athletes and boo them?
Well,
yay or nay?
It's Well, I mean, you do whatever you want to do, man. It's a free country. If you want to boo somebody, as long as you're not abusing them, like I don't have much of a problem with it. But, I mean, when you talk about all this stuff and you talk about NIL money and the fact that these guys are getting paid, we have this conversation about the Neyland Entertainment District, and we're putting a hotel next to the stadium and a full-on shopping mall experience and dance clubs and like all this stuff. It just further illustrates how professionalized college athletics are becoming. And yeah, I mean, I think it's a slow moving paradigm shift moving away from quote unquote amateur athletics to professional athletics. And I mean, we can call these guys kids for all they are. And, yeah, I mean, you know, 19, 20 years old is pretty young. You don't know very much at that age, or at least I didn't. Most of my friends didn't. But you're a legal adult. You know, you can buy a lottery ticket. You can go serve our country. Like, you're not a child. You're just a young person. And so, yeah, I mean, I guess that is going to come even more into play as we move into this new era of college sports.
You know, something else, too. I think we can all agree that there is no more, I wouldn't say no more, maybe 10, 20%. There is not as many kids now going to a school because of the pageantry or the tradition. Of course, you're in-state school kids, you know, oh, I want to stay at home. I was born in Knoxville. I was born in Lexington, et cetera, et cetera. I think most of these kids now are just looking, no matter if you're a one-star or a five-star, who is going to pay me the most? Where can I play the most? I don't care if there's a Marshall on the helmet, a Texas logo. I don't care if it's West Virginia. Doesn't matter. Where can I get the most money? Where can I play the most?
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's going to create some opportunities for some schools that might not have been very powerful in football or men's basketball to become powerful in some regards. But I also think there's still something to be said for, you know, playing football at Tennessee, playing basketball at Kentucky. It's still a big stage, and, you know, just playing at these tradition-rich schools in and of themselves, I still think that that's a big draw. But, I mean, it's America, and money talks, and if you've got it, you're going to be in pretty good position.
Oh, yeah. You know, past couple days or so, I've been taking some strays from left field and right field. You know, I take strays from somebody all the time, but – Y'all ever see a chihuahua? Y'all ever been around chihuahuas? You know, you leave them alone and you don't pay them no mind. They got the biggest bark in the world. But once you stand up and start yelling at them, they tuck their tail behind their legs and start running and whimpering away. Kind of reminds me of what Phil did today. See ya.
Ooh. There's 2 days in a row. He's TJ the Kentucky fan.
Taking shots at the king.
Walking right up to Philly.
Well, I thought he was
slapping him across
the
face.
I'm, you
and
know
saying,
what
you going to do?
I'm going to stand up for Philly. Usually Philly's one-liners, you can tell. They're quick-witted, top of the head. This feels prepared. A long-winded joke to...
Oh, that
it was. He doesn't... It's pretty good, obviously, Marcus. I think that's a pretty big... You have to admit that's a pretty big standard to hold him up to. Philly's a known last word assassin.
Because he's good at it.
Well, he's honed his craft over the years.
Right. And this feels like TJ's having to sit there and write a little script together. How am I going to get Phil today?
He said,
let's call
Phil
him a chihuahua.
Is all bark.
Call Phil
no
a chihuahua.
Bite.
What did he call him yesterday?
Water in a mustard bottle, I think.
Mustard water.
Mustard water and a chihuahua. He's basically saying he's low, what do you call it? Low T?
I am here for the Phil and TJ the Kentucky fan feud.
I just also want to say,
don't encourage caller on caller violence except for when we do.
I don't completely agree that like kids are only looking for money now. I don't think that's the main reason they decide to go to school. Going for playing time, sure, but there are plenty of people who are going to like Georgia because they know they're going to win. There are plenty of people who are going to Alabama because even though they're not going to start right away, there might be a five-star quarterback that's on the bench for 2 years. They know they're going to get an opportunity to start and have a chance at the NFL. NIL is definitely a part of it, but to act like, yeah, you know what, I'm going to make more money going to Marshall. Like, no, like that's not – I don't think that's the main thing kids are looking for. It's a part of it, but it's not the main thing.
Well, I think everybody's different, so everybody has different motivations. Money probably not the big motivation for Arch Manning that it might have been for Nico Yamaleava. But let's be honest, Nico is probably not here in Knoxville if Tennessee didn't break the bank for him as they reportedly did a year or so ago.
I'm not saying it doesn't play a part in it at all. I mean, obviously, I mean, like we can go back to the SMU days, back, you know, the whole death penalty, what happened there. But I'm just saying that, to me, a lot of it comes down to, if you want to make it in the NFL, it doesn't matter who pays you the most. You want to go somewhere that you can showcase your talents to make it in the NFL. I can get you $8 million to go to West Virginia, but if West Virginia doesn't play well, sorry, bud, that $8 million is all you got, because you're not making it in the NFL.
The problem I have with it is I kind of feel like they're only – how was it worded, Marcus? They're only going – or what was it he said, his point about they're only going
– it's either to get playing time or to make money.
Yeah, to the money. I feel like that's a narrative that the people who have not wanted to share in this massive, you know, ocean of cash they've been rolling around in with the players, I think that's a narrative they're pushing. Yeah, they want to get paid. It's a job. Everybody knows it. Nobody believes you guys.
I don't think they want to get paid on the basis of some moralistic,
argument. No,
I think they want to get paid because they realize they
can.
Getting
paid,
and
getting
money
paid
is better than not getting money.
Exactly. They were the only part of the only people involved in all the transactions and anything to do with this that weren't getting any money out of it. And you can talk about school and room and board and all that pie in the sky stuff you want to talk about. Once this thing became a billion-dollar industry, they should have paid the players. They should have done something.
I don't think there was some nefarious, you know, intent.
No, I just
think
it was just simple human greed, man.
I don't even think it's that. I think it was just a system that, you know, you go back and read the history of amateur sport, like in the 1920s and stuff, like it's kind of a cool thing. Like Bobby Jones did not want to become a professional golfer because he wanted to remain amateur so he could win those championships. There wasn't that much money in it back in those days, and there wasn't much money in it even back in the 1950s and everything. But so you had this system in the NCAA, and you know, the concept of amateur sport, there was a romanticism about it, just like there's still a romanticism about college sports to a degree. We're cynical about it on sports radio, but that still exists for a lot of people. There's a cool vibe around college sports that there isn't around professional sports. It's the reason we're sitting here watching the Lady Vols softball team right now. But you're right. I mean, it's not like it became a billion-dollar sport overnight. It was a slow-moving thing once TV came into it that took 50 years to go from making a little bit of money. Okay, a couple hundred thousand dollars here. Ooh, we're making millions of dollars now. Ooh, we're making tens of millions of dollars. All the way to now, it's a billion-dollar TV deal. And, yeah, there's no incentive to immediately cut the players in, but it's reached a breaking point, obviously, where they are going to demand their slice of the pie, and they're getting it. The other thing is, like, look, these guys have always had a privileged life.
I'm not
going to
act like they aren't.
Going back,
they aren't getting
1960s.
Their slice of the pie, though.
No, nobody's arguing that.
Okay,
but I mean, they've had a. It's been cool to be a college athlete
for a long
since
time.
The 1950s. You're walking around with your leather jacket and the cheerleader on your arm and the whole nine yards. It's even, you know, before NIL, before we even knew those three letters, guys were lining up to play football at Tennessee and Alabama without major financial considerations for years and years and years and years.
Well, it's like you said, that was before the big money came in.
No. They've been doing that in the 1980s and 1990s. Guys, and you know, until we didn't even know what NIL was until 5 years ago. And yeah, people getting paid, I know, $100 handshakes, Corvettes under the table, all that stuff. Guys are doing it for free and didn't realize. I mean, at what point did they become, quote unquote, exploited? Was it a big deal in 1983 when a TV contract might have been a couple of hundred thousand dollars? Probably not. You got expenses to pay. When exactly did it become a raw deal for the players? I mean,
probably when the and I don't know when you could pinpoint it, probably with Nick Saban, when the coaches' contracts, when those guys started making just the obscene amounts of money they're making, the athletic directors.
Did Peyton Manning get a raw deal? Did Tony Robinson? Did Allen Houston? Did Bernard King? Did Chris Lofton? You know, I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, they're –
Did Inky Johnson?
I mean,
I understand
he would tell you he didn't. He would tell you, you know,
I know.
He's cut from a different cloth, obviously, but he would tell you that he has no regrets and would suit up that day and not do a single thing differently.
I mean, the one thing that always really kind of I think is strange is that I'm fairly certain UT paid for all of Inky's resulting from his injury, but they don't have to. There's no rule that says they have to, unless something's changed recently.
Coming up, Marcus has your top five at five here on Fan Run. We'll catch you up to date on the softball game, a couple of other things going on. The Cubs are just getting bent over a barrel at Wrigley. The Reds have 9 runs on 19 hits.
Isn't that where you're going this weekend? Aren't you going to watch the Cubs?
He's talking to Tucker Harlan.
I will be watching
gentlemen.
The Cubs this weekend.
No, they're due. I mean, they hopefully get it out of their system. Not that I have a parlay with them in it or anything this afternoon. Not that I better. It's okay, though. 865-546-8200. If you want to chime in on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines this afternoon, we got a lot to get to coming up here in hour number 3. Auburn is making some buzz on social media for a social media post they had yesterday that all kinds of people, including St. Lane, are having fun with on the interwebs. We'll tell you about that. Stay with us. The drive continues. Hour number 3 coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.